Friends, the holidays are supposed to be, by most accounts anyway, a cozy time spent with our loved ones, a time when we all gather around a table, a gift, a tree, a menorah, or just around each other to share and give, to laugh and catch up and celebrate the winter season. But let's be real. Holidays can also drive us pretty crazy. There's pressure, expectations, real or imagined, relatives with wildly differing opinions, interrogation about our life choices and marital status, and add in a little spiked eggnog and a racist uncle and friends. It can be a lot. Or for some, the holidays can be isolating and lonely, even around others. Throw in travel and crowds and tight budgets, and the truth is, we've gotten pretty far away from meaningful holidays and moved into something more material and obligatory and something certainly not very connected to each other. Yuck. Layer in that the country is still, no matter how you voted, settling into the realities of the presidential election. An election that sometimes really left families divided, sometimes still divided, and really on edge due to the issues it and its main characters raised. And a lot of people are more anxious than ever about the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, the holiday when we find ourselves sitting face to face with relatives with a whole slew of opinions, sometimes wildly different than our own. In a perfect world, we could all sit there around the Thanksgiving turkey and listen to each family member expressing their views. We could learn from each other and make space for thoughtful dialogue. We could respect one another, give each other the benefit of the doubt, and learn from each other. But seriously, that's the exception, certainly not the norm, and I think we all know that. Many families bicker this time of year, or simply avoid topics that might be less than harmonious altogether, which then becomes also problematic when so many people are searching for connection and meaning and want, really, really want, to talk about the things on their hearts and minds with the people they love. The truth is, we've gotten into a really tough spot. A place where, culturally, we're playing tug-of-war, trying to be right and win people to our way of thinking rather than finding common ground and giving one another respect and assuming the best intentions in order to find a way forward. So tonight, that's what we aim to explore. We're getting real tonight and talking about Thanksgiving and how to navigate it and other holidays peacefully and with people we love, and maybe even how to heal strained relationships instead of letting the proverbial pink elephant sit there in the family room. We're also going to talk about how to navigate holidays solo, or perhaps in totally new and different and untraditional ways. Maybe a little all of that, all rolled into one. I'm Amy Guth, and that's all coming up on the Saturday Night Special here on 720 WGN.
Live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout Mid-America.
And radio, well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
My friends, tonight's show is all about navigating Thanksgiving peacefully and happily with serenity now and connection. Whether you're with family, friends, coworkers, total strangers, or doing completely your own thing, it's all good. To do that right, though, we need some help. We're going to have an experienced, licensed counselor in private practice. She's joining us in studio to help arm us with tools and strategies we can use this year at the holidays and all year long. We're also going to be talking about alternatives. I mean, who says you have to do Thanksgiving with like football and turkey, right? Frankly, it can look however we want it to. And that is what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll be talking about the many ways to find meaning, whether that's with people you love but who drive you crazy, by doing things your own way, or some combination of the two. Our lives, my friends, they are ours to create. So in that spirit, Let's get to it. Producer Rachel Woodall will be the voice on the other end of the line when you call tonight at 312-981-7200. And I hope that you will share some of your perhaps slightly not so traditional Thanksgiving traditions with us. But if you're feeling a little radio shy, that is okay. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and contribute to the conversation in that way too, tonight and all week long. It's all good, my friends. Let's navigate this very tricky topic tonight together. We'll be right back to get the conversation underway on 720. WGN. That is a lovely album. All the stuff from Charlie Brown Christmas is so pretty, and it's a cozy time of year. And then all the family starts fighting, and that's what we're talking about tonight, because my friends, I don't know if you know, but this big election just happened, and a lot of people are really stressed out about it. No matter how they voted, I think we can all agree there's some settling in to be happening, and a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people have questions. Anytime there's a new boss, there's questions about it, to put it mildly. And as luck, question mark, would have it, here we go on the heels of that election going into Thanksgiving, this holiday where we have to sit right across the table from relatives that sometimes have wildly differing views than our own. And I have heard people on all areas of the political spectrum really fretting and really kind of freaking out about what Thanksgiving is going to be like, because they're like, oh man, my relative voted for this person, I didn't vote for that person, and vice versa, and all those things. And you know, sometimes when we're sitting at the Thanksgiving table, the eggnog starts flowing and we get a little uninhibited, and there's stuff, you guys, there's stuff. Holidays are tough to navigate anyway, but add in on the heels of an election and it gets really tough. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. So feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200, if you have a comment anywhere throughout the show, or please find me on Twitter and Facebook and we can continue the conversation. You know, sometimes you're feeling radio shy. I get that. But to have this conversation effectively and to really, really get the tools and strategies in our emotional toolboxes that we need professional help. So we have with us tonight Katie Valentino. She is a licensed counselor. She works all in family therapy. She's here to help us all just get along, which I think I say once per show at least. Can't we all just get along? But now we have professional help to help us get along. Katie, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me. This is such a cool night to be here.
Yeah, we're sitting here in the Michigan Avenue studio, and we're looking at, we watched the parade happen a minute ago and the fireworks, and Michigan Avenue is now all lit up with beautiful holiday lights. It's very, very pretty. Lots of people going by, lots of people that look really freezing. So I hope everybody is scurrying to a warmer spot indeed. But it is a lovely night to be here, of course. Always fun to be in the Michigan Avenue Showcase studio, but especially fun tonight. So Katie, there's so much to this topic, and I want to make sure that we get to all of it and that we do talk to some of our callers tonight. But let's take out the election layer and just start with just Thanksgiving, because I think sometimes it can be really stressful. You know, we look forward to it. It's fun once we're there sometimes, or it's fun to go, but then we go, oh boy, so-and-so's drinking, or so-and-so's doing this, or oh boy, someone asked me when I'm going to get married, or, you know, something happens. And we all, our relatives know how to push our buttons.
Absolutely. There's a big reason why they do that, because they installed all of our buttons. So we go around our relatives and every button we have just gets hit almost instantly. And we really have to consciously prepare ourselves to be around our relatives as much as we love them, because it's such a great opportunity being around them and the opportunity to see different people. But we also bring with it all of our wounds from childhood,
right?
All the things that, all the expectations we haven't met, and somebody else might have met different expectations, all those feelings that maybe we've been in therapy for 10 years and we've gotten real strong and we're real good and we go home and it's all gone.
Right. It's out the door. Gone. Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Even sometimes grown people, grown ass adults get around their relatives, and even their body language sometimes goes to a more passive or childlike kind of way, which is really interesting how we go into old patterns, even when we're like, I got this, I'm on it, I've got my life together. And then you're like, ooh, this button just got pushed, or this just happened.
Absolutely.
So what can you do when you're first you know, maybe now leading up to Thanksgiving, is there something that we should be doing maybe to prepare ourselves, especially if we think it might be a contentious time to be sitting at a table when, you know, a lot of families are divided, and we'll get into politics in a minute, but just, you know, there's always something that comes up. What can we be doing now to get ready for Thanksgiving?
Really taking some time to be mindful about what's going on in your life, in your family's life, some of those triggers that might come for you, so that as much as you can prepare to really be aware of that and take steps so that it doesn't escalate to an extreme level.
So what would an example be? Like if you're going through something, would you want to talk to your family ahead of time, or does it depend on what it is?
It all depends on what it is, but sometimes it is good, especially if you don't want to talk about something. Maybe you just had a spouse die. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, a close friend died. Maybe somebody got arrested in your family. Maybe one of your children just got arrested, mm-hmm. and you're really trying to process that. It might be important to talk to your family ahead of time and say, you know, I'd rather not talk about that subject.
Yeah.
Or just have a mantra for yourself of how you're going to respond to any questions, of maybe even saying, I don't want to talk about that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which
is fair. It's an important subject, but now I'm not ready to.
Right, which is totally fair. I think especially the more recent the wound is, the harder it is. And that can be something different for everybody. I mean, we're talking about death and big stuff, but sometimes it can just be like, you know, like it can be a job related thing. It can be a breakup. It can be maybe your kids, like you're just not getting along with your kid or your spouse or whatever that is, like whatever phase you're in, it seems like.
Right.
That it can be, we all cope differently and stress hits us all differently.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could be, you know what, so-and-so's going through a thing. I don't want to talk about it. FYI.
Right. It could even be something as simple as what kind of car you bought.
Hmm.
My brother can set me off by talking about... You know, I finally bought a Honda one time, and I didn't buy the right Honda.
Oh, sure.
But then it really didn't have anything to do with cars. It was my big brother's trying to tell me about my life again, so we could get those triggers going. So it's really being aware of, okay, what am I really getting upset over?
Gosh, I hope I don't do that to my little brother. He's probably listening, though, and nodding, going, exactly what you do, exactly. Nonetheless, my friends, we're talking about how to navigate Thanksgiving, because I think a lot of people are very, very worried about it. So, and we're starting with what we can do right now to kind of mentally prepare ourselves. We hear a lot about self-care, that to the point that it's become almost this buzzword that no one even really knows what that means. What does that mean? What do you do? You know, I think the examples we always hear is like taking a time out or getting a pedicure, but that's not necessarily relaxing to everybody.
Right.
What are strategies to take to really get yourself in the mindset, especially if you know, sometimes it's rocky to navigate family stuff for you?
Well, one thing is to really be aware of the different ways our stress affects us, because it can affect us physically in terms of headaches, GI issues, stomach issues,
yeah.
back issues, our muscles get tense, as well as our emotional stress, where we're really irritable and we're cranky and we're really short with different people, or we start to really withdraw. And we can also have those intellectual signs of stress where we're forgetting things and we're preoccupied mm-hmm. with different things. Being aware that those can be real signs of stress, and then stepping back and not only doing things like the physical self-care, but maybe doing some journaling, doing some writing, some artwork, something that you can put your emotions into, and really honoring those emotions, because it's not a bad thing. People say that being sad is a bad thing. No, it's a human thing. Mm-hmm. It's very normal. So really honoring those normal feelings, as well as being aware of when they get to the point of depression.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really important. We do have kind of a taboo around so many things. We're so mm-hmm. quick to call things positive or negative. Sometimes they just are. And sometimes I feel like emotions that seem like they're labeled negative are really quite cathartic. Sometimes mm-hmm. you need to cry it out. Sometimes you just, something comes up. Sometimes you had a bad day. You got to cry it out. Get done. Be done. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to really give in to that emotion, even because it's all a continuum of whether it's healthy or unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And rage is definitely, it's unhealthy no matter what the
sure.
reason we're rageful, because we're not in control.
Yeah.
But anger isn't necessarily unhealthy. It's closer to unhealthy. Whereas rage is healthy, anger, it's still a normal emotion. It's what do we do with that emotion?
Right, right. Whether we use it constructively or just internalize it and get an ulcer or something. Right, right. And it can, I feel like anger can also be kind of a roadmap. It can tell us, okay, this is something I need to work on or do something about or a conversation I need to have. It seems like it's when we put it away. That's when we get in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. Just being aware of it.
Yeah. And two, I think getting to the location, once we've done the self-care, once we've gotten ourselves in the mindset to get there, to go to Thanksgiving, sometimes just traveling can really be quite tricky in and of itself, especially if you're flying.
Right.
Airports are quite stressful places anytime, but when it's really busy for the holidays. Earlier today on the business lunch program, I was talking about some things that a particular airlines are doing to try to make travelers a little happier this year. There's some improvements they've made to the TSA lines. There's some additional social media support when people are just out complaining on Twitter about a delayed flight or something like that. And some airlines are even saying if there's a delay over a certain amount of time, we're going to bring out snacks. Everybody gets a sandwich and a soda or whatever, which is interesting because to me that kind of speaks to the a little more human part of this, of really paying attention to the human being's needs. And that's really, I think, the guts of what we're talking about tonight. It's everybody has needs, and it's when we're not hearing them and when we're not listening to them, when we're not even acknowledging them, or when we're telling our relatives and friends that they're wrong, that's when we really get into a lot of trouble, my friends. So we have Katie Valentino in studio with us. She is a professional. We brought in help because we all need help sometimes. She's a licensed counselor, and she's going to be helping us tonight navigate and figure out how to navigate how to deal with Thanksgiving here right after an election, which no matter how you voted, I think it's stressing a lot of people out. I know my social media feeds are filled with people kind of worried about how to sit around that Thanksgiving table with a family that might be really divided about the election or might just kind of come together and fight during the holidays. It's a thing that happens. So let's just be real about it and talk about it and learn from each other and help each other out. So we're going to take a little break, get you to news, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation all about peacefully navigating the holidays here on 720 WGN.
It's the McDouble WGN.
WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. And my friends, tonight we are talking all about, we're keeping it real tonight. We're talking all about how to navigate Thanksgiving when everybody's still a little bit on edge about the election. No matter how you voted, I think there's a lot of families that maybe didn't all vote the same way. And that can be super stressful, especially around Thanksgiving when we're sitting right there looking at each other and there's just a turkey between us. We can't go distract ourselves with, the tree or something on TV or whatever. It's all just sitting there looking at each other. And sometimes that can really stress us out, especially here on the heels of an election. So we've brought in help because, you know what, we all need it sometimes. Indeed, our good friend Katie Valentino is here. She's a licensed clinical professional counselor, and she's here to talk with us about how we can peacefully navigate the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, and perhaps, maybe, pie in the sky wishing here, perhaps we could even foster some healing and some dialogue in places where perhaps it got a little off the tracks in the last year. So that is what we are here to do. We're glad you're with us tonight, Katie. Thanks for braving the parade and all the stuff on Michigan Avenue to join us in studio. We're grateful to you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me here.
So right before news, we were talking about how to set yourself up before Thanksgiving, things to start doing now, of really kind of getting in that mindset of having a slightly more positive experience. And there was something that you mentioned right before we came in here that I really liked, and that was about adjusting your own expectations. And when we say that, I think there's an immediate response of like, I'm not going to lower my expectations. But in fact, you meant something quite different about kind of walking into a situation already believing something's going to be bad.
Right. It's really checking in with ourselves. And prior to really even going to the family, saying, okay, what's going on in my mind? What are my automatic thoughts already doing? Am I already fighting with my relative? Am I already having this argument before I even get there?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe our relative might not have set us off, but boy, we're already fighting. And we show up and we're already mad.
And we're ready.
We're ready for
to
that
pounce
fight.
On the littlest thing.
Lightest little thing, yeah. Man, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we say like, oh, my crazy aunt or my racist uncle or, you know, whatever it is, I'm not saying I have either of those, but I'm just saying as an example.
We all do.
Right.
We all have that
relative, right?
Nobody's family is normal.
Absolutely.
The functional family doesn't really exist. It's not real.
Everybody's family has got issues. Everybody fights, or worse, doesn't fight, doesn't ever go there. Right. And it's like repressed. And because what happens, I think, and you've probably seen this in your private practice, is when people are not talking, it will explode at some point. It's got to come out eventually.
Yeah, or it comes out in other symptoms. Mm-hmm. Like I had mentioned to you before, when I worked the ERs, and I worked emergency rooms in Chicago, I had five different hospitals that I covered. I worked for probably 5 or 6 years on Thanksgiving, and that was always, psych-wise, the busiest holiday I would ever work. And it would be the quantity of people that would come in. And people would come in psychotic, like really believing things, hearing things. They were suicidal. It's all these issues all of a sudden hit them at once. And if we're already a little fragile, mm-hmm. sometimes we can't handle it.
Yeah. And why Thanksgiving? Why is Thanksgiving the one where you saw that the most?
I think you really kind of hit on it. We have to sit down and talk to each other. We don't have that. We don't have our religious beliefs. We don't have our cultural beliefs. We're just sitting down to give thanks. And it's the first holiday of the season. So we've been doing, picnics and things like that, that there's not real high expectations of being perfect or following specific traditions. It's really relaxed. Coming into Thanksgiving and then into Christmas, it's really, there's a lot of expectations culturally, tradition-wise.
Sometimes religiously.
Absolutely.
Right. I think for sometimes, it's a time when I think, especially this time of year, when there's a lot of people feel their otherness, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a big divide between like who's got a tree, who's got a menorah. Like suddenly it's, you feel very disconnected from people if you've got one or the other.
Right.
I think that's a big time when people feel otherness. So, I mean, I think that's all the time, but especially this time of year, that's when you see that like really feel a religious mm-hmm. otherness. So I think that can be a thing too. For sure it can. I think that is really, really interesting about it being the first holiday. And that's a great point, because probably 4th of July is the last time families got together. And mm-hmm. it's so casual. Mm-hmm. You're just hanging out at someone's house. You're probably grilling. Everybody's in flip-flops. The sun's out. It's cool. It's fine.
And friends are there.
Right, right.
So other people who distract us from our family issues are there.
Right.
Those buffers.
Which is something people do. I know people that make a point to bring a friend with them to Thanksgiving because they feel like their family will... you know, kind of behave. They'll have like their company manners.
Right.
And they won't just be quite as mm-hmm. casual maybe because it's like, oh, there's a person from outside. Oh, my, you know, daughter or son is so nice to bring a friend home who didn't have anywhere to go. Will be nice and not bring up all this crazy stuff. Right. Very interesting. So once you arrive, you know, we touched on travel too, and that can be really stressful for a lot of people. I know flying is not my favorite activity. I finally just made myself do it a lot and get over it, you know, mm-hmm. just to get over it. But, you know, sometimes like, especially in bad weather, turbulent flights, that freaks people out. That gets people very much on edge. A lot of people cope with stress and travel with drinking and things like that, which can also add to it. So you're already a hot mess by the time you get to your relative's house. And as you said, if we've been kind of thinking of fighting with them in our heads, or if we're thinking, okay, I always fight with Aunt so-and-so, this time she's not going to get me. We've already had that fight in our heads, which I think is a really great point that you bring up. And so once we arrive, what is the first thing that we should do upon arrival at our destination when we feel like it's going to be, you know, triggering or whatever? Say we've already taken your advice and spent the time leading up to Thanksgiving, really practicing some self-care. As you said, journaling, I think that's a really positive one. Yoga, whatever your thing is, walk in nature, listening to music, whatever your thing is, and mentally preparing, really checking in with yourself, maybe checking in with family and saying, hey, here's this thing going on. I don't want to go there in front of the whole family. Doing all those things. But then we walk in the door
mm-hmm.
and suddenly some of that stuff can get challenged.
Right. One of the things that I really like, and it's part of the mindfulness, and we hear mindfulness all the time mm-hmm. now, and it really is about coming back to the moment and not just being aware of it, but being in the moment and aware of how things are affecting us. But one thing we can do, and it can take 2 minutes, because when we start to kind of feel a little overwhelmed, just stop and check in with all five of your senses and think about, what am I seeing? What am I hearing? What am I smelling? What am I tasting? What am I feeling? And we can go through all those senses in a matter of minutes. We can spend 10, 15 minutes doing it, or we can do it in a minute or two, and it really can help ground us back, pull us back into our body, lower our, you know, that tension and the adrenaline that's starting to come up.
Even if it's not necessarily looking for an aha there, just kind of say, mm-hmm. I'm looking at pretty lights and right. I'm, you know, polishing the silverware and mm-hmm. or whatever it is. You're not necessarily looking for some deeper truth to be revealed. You're just kind of
not
saying what's
all.
Happening right now.
Exactly. It's about coming back to your body and saying, okay, you know, I'm not 10 years old again. This is the moment right now. Mm-hmm. This is where I am right now.
That's very good advice, because I think that's when we see people go, man, I was so mentally prepared. Mm-hmm. I walked in.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, all the senses, all the smells,
yeah.
everything hit me.
Right.
And triggered me. And my mind got lost.
Well, I have a friend who said a couple of years ago, she really, she had a contentious relationship with her mom. And she said she was very prepared to go back home and went there and walked in the door, and she felt like, this is going to be strong. I'm going to forge a friendship with her as an adult. And her mom immediately commented on her weight, like within 10 minutes. And mm-hmm. she was like, man. And then it all came unraveled, you know.
Right.
And she was relaying to me that she just really, from then on, had so much trouble getting back to the place mentally where she was right before she rang the doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand that. That could be tricky. My friends, we're talking about navigating Thanksgiving, because I think we can all agree it's sometimes tricky. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It is a lovely holiday where we come together with our friends and family, and we give thanks, and we do all those things. But sometimes there is family stuff. There are family triggers, and there's button pushing and all that kind of stuff. And that's okay. And so what we're doing tonight together is we're talking all about it. We have a professional with us to help give us these wonderful insights and tools to help us navigate this holiday and all the ones that follow. And heck, we can use these strategies all year long. I think we can agree on that too. We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back. We will continue this conversation with our good friend Katie Valentino and all of her wisdom in her private practice as a licensed counselor, helping us to navigate the holidays, especially post-election, here on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. A little bit short show tonight. At 8:30, we're going to turn things over to Judd Surratt for the pregame, but still lots to do. We have with us our good friend Katie Valentino. She is a licensed counselor, and she works to help families. She works in private practice, helping families get along, because I think, I know I say almost every single show, can't we all just get along? And I mean it, so I brought in help for this one, because tonight we're talking all about something a lot of people that I know and am connected to on social media are thinking about, and that is, how in the heck are we all going to navigate Thanksgiving on the heels of the election? And you know what? Some people are saying, hell with it, I'm not going, which is totally valid. I got to say, I'm not going to do a Thanksgiving thing, not necessarily because of that, because I'm going to be here doing the work, hanging out with everybody at WGN Radio, and I'll be on for Black Friday, so I can't travel too far anyway. But nonetheless, I think, you know, it's cool. We can all make our own traditions, and I think that's perfectly valid. But Katie, I think that kind of speaks to the expectations we were talking about. Sometimes we get bummed out if our lives aren't meeting what we think it should be. Even if that's just a particular day, like if we don't have a white tablecloth and a turkey and a bunch of people around that table, somehow we think we've missed the mark. But I got to say, I have spent a lot of Thanksgivings doing completely weird stuff, and they're lovely. I've volunteered. I've sometimes just made something and said, hey, if you don't have anything to do, come over. I've made a little Thanksgiving dinner, and kind of, I call them the Thanksgiving orphans, come over, and we have like Friendsgiving, and they're lovely. And none of it looked like the Norman Rockwell thing, and that's okay. And I think, tell me if you agree, but it seems like it's the expectation part that really throws us off a lot.
Yeah. The expectation, we want to have expectations of how things will go. It's when we start demanding that they be that way, that really, we start actually making our holidays worse and more stressful and more anxious, to the point where we might not even enjoy them because we're so, you know, heck-bent on making everything perfect that we forget the whole purpose of it.
Right.
And it really is not bringing in the Norman Rockwell painting, which we have to remember. Those paintings were great. They were real. They were a moment.
Right.
A brief moment was perfect or looked perfect. It wasn't all the chaos that surrounded that moment. And it's really about bringing in the traditions and the people and the things that are important to you. So for Thanksgiving, it's really about, okay, let's bring in something that was positive.
Mm-hmm.
Having people come in with stories that were positive and what we're thankful for the whole year, because there is so much good in the world. There is far more good than evil, no matter what it seems like.
Right.
Because
we're thinking
we get exposed the most
recent.
To all the evil.
Yeah.
But there's so much good, and we really have to bring it back into our families and into our lives. And even if it is friends just sitting around,
yeah.
What a great way to give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not my biological family, but it's a family I chose.
Yeah.
And it's about being there and giving thanks and having that love continue through.
Yeah. And I think even when you just say, you know what, I all my people have plans and I can't get home to my family, or maybe I don't have family or whatever. You know, there was a period of time where I was volunteering every year at a particular place on Thanksgiving, and I saw this same group every single year, and it was kind of our own little, we didn't even know each other's names,
right.
But we just knew that guy, that woman, her, him, you know, we knew each other from sight, and it was kind of this lovely thing, but we were complete strangers. If we met on the sidewalk, we'd recognize each other,
mm-hmm.
But that was just kind of when we saw each other, and that became meaningful and special because it just was everybody had different circumstances. We had somebody who lost his wife and son, and he was like, I really don't have anywhere else to go, so this is what I'm doing. And that's a great reason to, you know, instead of, he's like, I don't want to sit at home and wallow. I want to go do something. I want to be busy on this
mm-hmm.
day. And that was great. So I think it's useful to really examine what am I expecting right now? What am I going in this expecting? And what's reality?
Right. And paying attention to our own thoughts and not what we think others are thinking.
Because
we can sit home alone and not wallow.
Yeah.
We can sit there and we can really enjoy ourselves and be thankful that I've got a home.
Yeah.
To sit there and be comfortable in and not worry that other people might think, oh, that person's a loser because they're home alone on Thanksgiving. No, this is what I'm choosing to do, and it's
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not out fighting with my family. I'm sitting here hanging out watching, binge watching something on Netflix.
I might be preventing
cool.
a homicide by staying home. I am doing the world the greatest gift and saving the taxpayers
right.
thousands of dollars by staying
right.
home.
By staying home and not committing homicide. I enjoy that. Well, you know, it seems like, too, there's a lot of layers that can get there. If you do choose to be with family, there's layers and there's considerations, right? I think one of the big ones is a lot of people cope by drinking.
Right.
And that can lower inhibitions. That can make people say maybe not things they don't mean, but things they wouldn't say necessarily, because I think it's in there, right?
It's in there. And all the studies have shown that when people are, whether they're actually drunk or they just think they drink a lot of alcohol, they behave the same way.
Oh, interesting.
So it's
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
It's just how we present it, as well as if everybody else is drinking, where's our trigger level?
Yeah.
You know, our trigger is really low. Our frustration tolerance is almost zero
mm-hmm.
once we add all the stressors of life in and family and all the wonderful things on top of all the negative things. And then we throw in alcohol, and it's a free-for-all.
Well, and I think that can go a lot of different ways, right? There's, if someone doesn't drink, maybe being around a relative that's drinking to an uncomfortable point
mm-hmm.
anyway could be upsetting. It could be hard to deal with. Or ourselves, you know, we could maybe cope by, oh, so-and-so's stressing me out. I'm going to get the wine, right?
Right.
And then maybe we don't have our... we don't have the presence of mind to necessarily keep our strategies nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So what, other than do not get blind, crazy drunk, other than that, like, what do you do, especially if it's a relative, maybe there's a relative who does drink excessively that's upsetting to be around. How do you kind of get your head around that going into that situation?
Mm-hmm. Not expecting them to be any different.
Mm.
Just expecting that you can control how you behave and you react, whether it be in our thoughts or our actions. And maybe separating ourselves, you know, taking those interruptions. Just because we don't smoke cigarettes doesn't mean we can't step outside.
Sure.
Take the dog for a walk. Take the garbage out. Do different things that really interrupt us so that we can handle that person. As well as understand when those boundaries are that, okay, I need to go to bed. I need to leave. I'm done.
Sure.
Or
I need a nap. Hey, I have a headache. I'm going to lay down a minute. Even if you don't have a headache, those are all things you can do.
That cheap wine really affected me bad.
There's
I need to lay down.
I can't remember the name of it. if you know the name of this, send us a text or send me a tweet or something. There's an app where it kind of fakes a phone call to get you out of something. Like, oh, work's calling me. I got a thing. Hang on. You know, whatever it is. Not that I'm advocating being dishonest, but especially if you're in a upsetting thing, you know, if you're with someone who's maybe drinking or something like that, that can be a lot.
Well, we have to be able to set those boundaries for ourselves.
B is for boundaries, my friends. Mm-hmm. That's an important one. And then we have other layers of things to introduce, right? And we're going to take a break and get to news here in just a second. But I think just off the top of my head, obviously the election is a big one. We've just had this election that and the campaigns leading up to it and its major players are very polarizing. And a lot of people have very strong feelings about the outcome of that. And I'm not standing on either side of the fence on that one. I'm saying people across the spectrum have very strong feelings about that and the issues that it has given voice to. So I think there's a lot of people that are really kind of like either going, no one's talking about the election this year, which sometimes can be a problem because I think people want to connect right now. I think people want to talk about it. Even I would say, I think people deep down want to talk to the other side. I don't think anyone knows how to do it carefully and well and safely, but I think we need to. I think we need to forge a way. I mean, I talk a lot on this show about creating space to have the conversation, to make dialogue, because I think that's what we're really missing.
Yeah. We have to be okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Knowing uncomfortable is not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can lead to really difficult behaviors, but we can be uncomfortable and try to understand each other, but also realize when our heart's starting to pound, when our breath is getting short, when we're starting to sweat, when our face is getting red, that's the time where we have to just kind of step back.
Yeah.
And okay, no, we can't talk about it anymore. Right. We have to be a good winner and a good loser.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it's got to come down to.
And I think to have that kind of conversation, you have to... You have to kind of all be in agreement that, hey, we want to have dialogue.
Right.
I think if you don't agree that, then someone's going to be like, no, I'll tell you what the thing is. And it is, this is the thing. And they'll.
Right.
And that's when we start playing that emotional tug of war about wanting to win rather than have conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about that a lot in the show, but I think that is such a critical difference in the way we approach social media and the way we approach each other in any conversation. There's a huge difference if you approach somebody wanting to win an argument versus if you want to make space to have a conversation.
Exactly.
And I think if, I don't know how you get all of your relatives to the point of like, can we all agree we want to have dialogue? I don't know how to do that short of saying that very thing. And even then they might write you off as being ridiculous. But nonetheless, that is what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about how to navigate Thanksgiving and the holidays that follow it peacefully, happily, all of those things with our relatives, especially on the heels of such a contentious election. So that is what we're talking about tonight. Let's take a little break. Let's get you to news and we'll come back. We're hanging out with Katie Valentino. She's a licensed counselor here to help us make sense of all of it and give us some tools and strategies for navigating these tricky conversations. But we're doing this together tonight, my friends. So we'll be back in just a bit on 7 PM.
Live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout Mid-America.
Radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
720 WGN. You heard the woman. It's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are talking all about how to navigate Thanksgiving on the heels of the election, because I think we can all agree, no matter how we voted, that it has been a thing that has perhaps driven a wedge in some families, or at the very least made it a little uncomfortable. I think we all kind of don't know what to say. We all have really differing views about the major players in this election. And there's a lot of settling in, right? There's a lot of growing pains anytime there's a new boss. And certainly this country has a new boss. So we're all kind of figuring that out. But suddenly we got to sit around the Thanksgiving table together as we figure that out. So it can be a little tough. So We all need help. And therefore, we have brought in a professional. Katie Valentino is with us tonight. She is a licensed counselor in private practice here in the Chicago area. And she is giving us some wonderful tips and tricks and tools and strategies to put in our emotional toolboxes to help us navigate potentially tricky conversations with our relatives this year at Thanksgiving and, of course, all the holidays that follow. So, Katie, we're so glad that you're here tonight. And right before news, we were talking a little bit about we've already talked a little bit about how to get ourselves in the right mindset to arrive and really kind of bolster ourselves emotionally and keep our expectations in check. And that is including not starting a fight in our heads, not assuming the fight. I think that's a really powerful piece of advice of even if you always fight with that relative, don't start the fight before you get there.
Right.
And if you know someone is prone to maybe triggering or bad behavior, or, you know, maybe they're, we were talking a little about relatives that maybe drink a lot or something like that. I loved what you said about don't expect them to necessarily be different. Like, right. Go ahead and accept this is this thing that Aunt so-and-so does every year. And I'm not going to say this is the year that she's calm or friendly or sober or whatever that is. Right. Go ahead and just let that be what that is. And I think that's really, really great advice. But there's a lot of other layers there, right? As we're going into this Thanksgiving, as we said, we're post-election, so we have that hanging over us, which I think families are probably going to do one of two things. They're either going to say, nobody talk about it, even if you want to, even if you think it's going to go well, and respectfully, don't go there, no election involved, or it'll come up anyway. Someone right. will make a little comment about so-and-so candidate or this happened or this person won, this person didn't win, whatever that is, someone's going to make a little comment and someone else at the table is going to go, oh, well, you totally misunderstand. And then right. it's going to escalate and be a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I seriously doubt, I mean, I'm sure there's somewhere somebody in the land is going to bring up a political topic and someone will say something really respectful and say, I hear you, but what I think is this, but I don't think that's going to be the norm, right?
Well, it might start out that way.
Fair enough. Yeah. But then quickly
go over the
fast forward and it's mm-hmm. an hour and everybody's up pacing and yelling and
right.
slamming doors. Right. Right. Which can be a thing. So what is your advice if politics comes up, say you really don't want to go there or maybe you do? How do you navigate that if you know, maybe you're kind of open to the conversation as long as it's cool? How do you keep it? How do you keep people calm if it does come up?
Well, you have to be aware of when it doesn't. When it does start to escalate and how people are escalating it, because it's such a wide range right now. This election was so interesting because we had really super, super high IQ people and people we really respect vote for people that we really don't respect, and trying to understand that and really focusing back on, okay, how can we really take our turns, maybe even mm-hmm. setting some structure to it if it starts to get out of hand, saying, being okay with one, setting the boundary of this is not how we behave mm-hmm. in our home,
yeah.
that even if somebody who's in the public view behaves a certain way, that's not going to happen in our house.
Right.
So that we need to stop it if it gets to that point, because nobody's relationship is really worth it.
Right. That's a great point. Kind of keeping the bigger picture.
Yeah. And really interrupting it. And sometimes even doing something as it's simple and yet it can feel kind of odd is having the talking stick. Mm-hmm. If it really gets that bad, have that talking stick. Pass the stick around. You can't talk unless you have the stick in your hand.
Right.
And then
right.
don't take the stick and start beating each other with it.
Right. As long as it's not, right. I was going to say, as long as it's not like the talking knife or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talking rolling pin mm-hmm. or whatever it is that we're going to knock the crap out of each other with later. Right. Right. Indeed. So we have that layer, but then add kids into the mix.
Right.
Kids are kind of an interesting one anyway, because lots of things can happen. Sometimes they will say something unfiltered, like, Grandma, Mommy said that you're a whatever. That can always be awkward because kids are a little
They're
bit unfiltered.
Great for that.
They're great for that. But this year in particular, I mm-hmm. think children heard things. They internalized things. They picked up things. They're asking questions, some of which personally have broken my heart. I don't have children myself, but kids that I know, friends' children, I've heard them relay stories of just really difficult questions, even very young children heard through school or something like that, about their safety, about their behavior expectations, things like that. And it's, I think, difficult for parents to to navigate that conversation and say, well, even though someone who is very visible, who, you know, mm-hmm. now is in this position, is saying that you can't. I think that's right. really, it kind of gets into this do as I say, not as I do kind mm-hmm. of stuff that I think is really difficult.
Right.
I think for some children, there's an internalized fear because of messages they've heard about their race or their religion or something like that, that can also be really difficult. So I think kids are coming in with stress that little kids have maybe not had in past elections.
Right. And we really have to remember that everyone needs to have a voice because we can learn so much from the kids. When they come in, they can really kind of bring us back to really simplifying things of how things really look from their perspective or what they know in school. And giving them that voice really helps lower that anxiety, mm-hmm. as well as really as adults remembering that we are modeling to them. And that's what they're paying attention to. So if they're not feeling safe, we want to make them feel safe in our home. Because, no, we can't control the whole world, but we need to make them feel safe in our home. And a lot of what I'm hearing from several people is, you know, we have this cultural trauma that I feel like that wound has just been reopened. So you have families get together who are from cultural groups who have really had some significant traumas. Mm-hmm. And that's all coming back. And the kids are starting to kind of feel that. Whereas yeah. maybe they weren't feeling it so much because now we're a couple generations from a lot of the different cultural traumas. Yeah. Some traumas are very fresh. They're still going on right now. But some were a little bit further, and now all of a sudden we go to worst case scenario. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we have to prevent ourselves from going to worst case scenario so that our kids don't take on that anger and that fear and that rage that yeah. can come in. And then teaching them that it's okay to disagree. Yeah. It's okay to not even understand one another. But we're never going to understand each other if we don't talk.
Right. Which I think, unfortunately, I think so many families do that. I think, and to me, that's almost just as bad as getting into a big old shouting match, right? When people just go, I don't want to talk about it. I think sometimes small talk can be the most painful thing in the world, especially with people that you really care about.
Right.
Little, just small talk. It's just kind of it's neglectful in a way, right? It's like neglectful of one another's hearts mm-hmm. and minds, because it's like, I don't trust you to have this conversation. I don't trust you to meet my needs. You don't trust me to meet yours. We're going to talk about the weather. And sometimes right. that can be so painful when you're at that point with a relative or a friend or whatever that is. It's hard. It's really hard. And I worry this year that with so much going on, already holidays are tough. We have so much going on in the world. We have so much going on in this country. I'm very afraid that so many families are just going to sit around and talk about the weather. And I yeah. think that's dangerous.
And we do. We have to connect, but we also have to be aware of, okay, if I'm going in, how far do I dip my toes into the water?
Right.
Before I have to back out, because our relationships aren't worth ending
yeah.
over things like that. But really interrupting, you know, those discussions, maybe coming back to them, whether we interrupt them with changing the course of the meal, whether we interrupt them really with playing games, really having different things. One of the greatest things that I did not come up with this, but I love it. Go out, get some of those lifesavers, the little round lifesaver mints. Mm-hmm. And if things are getting heated, everybody wants pops one in their mouth. And you do not chew it. You suck it. And once it's melted, then people can start talking again, because it takes a good 5 minutes for that to melt.
Mm.
And it interrupts us long enough to really kind of get that adrenaline back down. So maybe we're not, you know, attacking so much as talking again.
That's a good one. I like that one. I think some families maybe need like the everlasting gobstopper mm-hmm. instead
yes.
of a mint. Some families will probably be fine with a red hot, mm-hmm. but some families probably need something more. That's a great strategy. It could probably bring a little bit of levity.
It brings a little humor.
If everybody,
you have to bring some humor into
right.
it.
Right. If suddenly you're like, okay, everybody pop a mint, it's mm-hmm. going to be a little bit lighter for a minute.
Right.
I think you just have to decide who's the mint captain,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's in charge of that? Because I think some families would be like, oh, always dropping it, right? When
yep.
we, you know, that is a good strategy. I really am interested in this idea of interrupting. We think of that word as being like, no, you shut up. But mm-hmm. in fact, what you're talking about is something a lot more productive, a lot more supportive and constructive. And that is I'll walk the dog. I'll do the dishes. I'll take out the trash. I'm going to take myself out of this for a minute.
Right.
Perhaps saying the word to get yourself out of there might be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like someone says something, say, I don't know, super racist. And you're like, so I'm going to do the dishes.
Right.
You know, like, might be kind of awkward to do. But I like that idea of giving yourself an out to I hear the oven. I'm going to go get the pie or whatever. But I think if you think through those ahead of time, you could probably come up with a way to do it in a not so ridiculous way.
And even if it's, if you don't, great. Give somebody a sense of humor. Tell them, yeah, okay, yeah, clearly things are getting out of hand.
That's
so and so had to literally step up and say, oh, yeah, time to walk the dog. Wait, all you have are cats. How can you go walk the dog?
Right. But you have a parakeet. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough. That's okay to bring humor into that, too. I think sometimes it's hard to switch that gear when we're starting to get our buttons pushed. That is a really great, great point. There's a lot here, my friends. Right. I think we can all agree that the holidays are sometimes really tricky to navigate. We've got travel. We've got family who they installed our buttons, so they know how to push them. Even wonderful families. Right. And I'm not having this topic because I'm maligning my own family. My own family's great. But I think I've just heard so many people on social media saying, man, I love my folks, but it's going to be really hard because they didn't vote the way I did and things like that. And I've heard that from people that voted a variety of ways, including didn't vote at all. I mean, I'm saying people, this is not one side against the other necessarily. This is, I think a lot of people are really unsure of how to navigate and put it all back together right now in the wake of the election. And here we have just weeks after it, Thanksgiving staring at us, a time when we have to sit across the table from our relatives and friends who may not quite think like we do, and it can be a little tough. So we are here sorting it out. We have Katie Valentino with us. She is a licensed counselor. She works in private practice helping families have these conversations, and she has graciously agreed to help us tonight. And so we're navigating this together. But we'll be right back here in just a bit on 720 WGN TV. WGN. It's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. We are saying goodbye a little bit early this week because we are going to turn things over to Judd Surratt for pregame here in just a bit. But we have Katie Valentino with us tonight. She was gracious enough to join us in studio. She is in private practice as a licensed counselor, and she helps families get along. And so that is why she is here tonight, because my friends, Thanksgiving is coming up. And if my social media feeds are any indication, a lot of people are very stressed out about how to deal with their relatives on Thanksgiving on the heels of this election. So she has been giving us some wonderful tips and tools tonight to do so. And as we're closing things up, Katie, what is kind of the one thing that you want people to hang on to, just keep in their minds more than anything else as they walk into maybe difficult conversations with family members this holiday season?
Big question. That's a big one.
Sure, sure. Is it, you know, you mentioned a little bit about, we were earlier tonight, there was the parade here on Michigan Avenue, and I was noticing that adults were kind of like complaining, right, about the cold and stuff, but the kids were all about the magic.
They're all in awe. And that's a big piece of it, is paying attention, being childlike.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you know, how many kids, I mean, I didn't walk into any today, but really they sit there in awe.
Yeah.
And taking that childlike, don't take to childlike in terms of throwing a temper
tantrum
and listening to our inner child who's feeling hurt and left out, but to really just take that awe in that moment and really give thanks that, you know, we're here.
Right. And enjoy the time together.
Yeah.
Enjoy the season. Enjoy the celebration and all that it is. My friends, if you tuned in late, please go to WGNradio.com and hear the podcast to learn all of these tips that our good friend Katie Valentino has given to us. Where can people find you on social media if they have more questions, or if they want to, if they're looking for maybe help navigating this with their family, something like that?
I'm on Twitter at Katie Scribe. My private practice is Vivere Counseling. I'm in Bloomingdale. You can find me on psychologytoday.com. As well as, you know, if you're really feeling things, call your insurance company and talk to a counselor. Get some counseling. Call your employee assistance programs. Lots of employers have that. And also remember that we all go through times where it's helpful to talk to somebody.
Everybody needs a hand.
Outside of our family and friends.
Right. Everybody needs help sometimes.
A lot of people come in for one or two sessions.
Sometimes you just need outside perspective. Mm-hmm. Indeed, my friends. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. We are going to take a little break and then turn things over to Judd Surratt for the pregame. But my friends, I hope you navigate it all wonderfully. I have faith in you. We'll do it together and we'll check in on Twitter. We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN.